quite a privilege. A lot of places around the world, if they get caught doing it, they can actually get executed. And we're in a free country. We're doing something that the Lord commanded us to do, and it's something that's such a blessing. It is designed to teach us, as is the Word of God. It teaches us some things. There are only two rituals given for the church age. The first one is water baptism. And that's only to be done once because it portrays the fact that Jesus died one time for sin. Hebrews chapter 10 spells it out. One time for sin, now he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So I believe that water baptism takes the place of all the animal sacrifices, because they were designed to portray what Messiah was going to do. Then when Messiah did it, water baptism took that place. But how about the Feast of Israel? Now, the Feast of Israel are fun to track. They're fun to study. They're fun to look at and see what was supposed to be done. But they were to be done in the spring, three of them in the spring. Then on the day of Pentecost, 50 days later, which commemorates the giving of the law of Moses to the Jews, and hence it basically is a dispensational check. What time frame are you living in? What law are you living under? What priesthood is functional in this particular point in time? And then the fall feasts are designed to show the return of the Lord. So the feast showed the first advent, ask what time it is, and then it showed the second advent. That's what the Lord's table does. It takes us back to the first advent as a memorial. We go back and we think about what he underwent for us. And it's always designed to be a checkpoint for us. And basically ask, have we made any progress since the last time we partook of the Lord's table? I think that's what it's for. Are we headed in the right direction? Are we headed in the wrong direction? Are we seeking to know our Lord all the more? Like Paul said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And Paul was the greatest theologian that ever lived. And he says in Philippians 3, one of the last books that he wrote, he says, I want to know the Lord. So he's saying that even with his vast knowledge, his great relationship, there's still more to learn. So are we still thirsting after Christ? That's one test that we look at. And so here we have this picture for us. We want to know him better. And so we look in the mirror of the Word of God and ask the right questions. You know, is he taking more of my time? Am I trying to understand him better? Am I serving him the way he wants me to serve? What am I doing? Or am I headed the other way and followed the ways of the world? Which direction am I going? So it's a time of self-reflection. Obviously, if a person is not a believer in Jesus Christ, it's a clear warning in 1 Corinthians 11. If you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you should not partake of the Lord's table. Because although it is a ritual, and although rituals can't save, it is very important. It is to be entered into with a solemnness about it, because this is a reflection on who Jesus is. So before we begin, we're going to take just a moment for prayer. And if anybody's listening or anybody's come that hasn't accepted Christ as their Savior, no time like the present. I mean, and why would you pick anybody else to try and save you? Why would you try and pick yourself? Have you seen your own flaws? Why would you try to pick Buddha or Gandhi or any of those other folks? They're all dead and their bodies are still there. Jesus is the only one. The tomb's empty. If I want somebody to trust for my salvation, I want someone that lived a perfect life and has overcome death. That's what makes sense. There is no other name given under heaven among men by which we must be saved. And that name we know is Jesus Christ our Lord. So we're going to take just a minute. And if you've come and not accepted Christ as your Savior, now's the time to do so. There's no... You don't have to raise your hand, walk down an aisle. You don't have to do anything right now. You just need to talk to the Father. And some might say he's not listening. He's listening. He's always listening. He's waiting for new people. We come as Christians testing ourselves, but he said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So confession means you're just letting God know. He already knows, but it's more for your benefit than his. So it's basically saying, yeah, we recognize these are things that are not pleasing to God. So this time of silent prayer is all about focusing on him and confessing anything we need to confess. And I would place it before him, say, Lord, help me fix it. Help me fix it. Let's pray. Father, it's amazing just to think about this amazing plan of yours. So you just chose to manifest your love, and you ended up making creatures like us. Father, we are so undeserving, and yet that's how you show what real love is all about. We do not deserve any grace, yet that's what grace is all about. Father, we deserve to die. We deserve to be removed. But Father, your mercy reaches out beyond time and space. And Father, your mercy provides this redemption for us. Redeemed, how we love to proclaim it. Father, we thank you for this day. And Father, we just pray that you'll accept our prayers. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. The Lord's table consists of two elements. We're all familiar with this by now. And that first element is a piece of unleavened bread. The unleavened bread is just a picture of sinlessness. Leaven in Scripture denotes evil. And this is a picture of the body of Christ. Because he said, this is my body that is broken for you to eat it, right? So it was unleavened bread. He had no evil in it. He did not sin at all, which to me is so amazing. He wasn't born like us, but he was born of a virgin, therefore he had no sin nature. But unlike Adam and Eve, he stayed intact. So here is this amazing picture of who Jesus is, and that's what this wafer is about. Who is Jesus? Because if he wasn't who he says he was not qualified to bear our sins. If you think he was a sinner like you and me, then guess what? He was not qualified to bear our sins. That spotless Lamb of God was he, like the song says. That was required under the law. When they brought the sacrifices, that was required. Would the Father have required anything less to really pay for sins? Because the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sins at all. So this piece of bread is so wonderful because we take it and are reminded about the man, Jesus Christ, perfect humanity, and yet staying that way. We normally, during this time, think about something about the Lord. There's a whole lot of things to think about. I know you've read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and that's just the start of it. To think about something that he did, because he healed people. We remember that. We see also that he performed miracles. Took a few loaves and fishes and fed 5,000 men plus their families. Oh, that's a pretty good miracle. Took a man that was lame since birth, and everybody knew he was. And he said, rise, take up your pallet and walk, and healed him just like that. He performed amazing miracles over and over again. And yet people said, who are you? And they say he does miracles by the power of Satan. And they accused him of every single thing. And yet he stayed focused on his mission. So we're going to take just a minute to think about him and think about the man, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, we lift up a blessing on the bread. We thank you for what it symbolizes. We thank you, Father, that our Lord Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, Father, and that he decided to take our sins upon him. As he said in the garden, not my will, but your will be done. Father, we thank you so very much for the man Jesus Christ, the example that he set. Father, we know we're told to imitate him. So may it be our desire to become a very Christ-like person, occupied with our Lord Jesus Christ. For we ask it in his name, amen. And he took the bread and he broke it and he said, this is my body that is broken for you. Keep on doing this in remembrance of me. Let us eat. The cup. The cup is quite significant. It is finished, was his cry, is what the song said. They took that right out of the gospel. It is finished. One word in the Greek, tetelestai. It is a perfect passive indicative. There's no way to say things any stronger. It comes from the word teleo. When he said it is finished, the perfect tense says it's completed action and results that go on forever. The passive, it has been finished. What? The payment for sins. Okay? It happened to him. The indicative says it's a historical fact. It has been finished. Now that is a powerful statement. That statement, I think, sent shockwaves all the way through the gates of hell and torments down in the abyss. I think it did. I think probably every creature everywhere heard that. Because it has been finished. Some are asking, what has been finished? And they need to find out. But for those of who have pursued and sought Christ, it is finished. It has been finished. What a statement. Because if you believe that he's God that became flesh and dwelt among us, glory as the only begotten of the Father, why would you not believe what he had to say? And so he made that statement after being wrongly accused over and over again. They put him on trial 6 times. Nobody could really declare him guilty. They instead used an option. Pilate did. Well, you wanted me to give, you want to save him or Barabbas? Who do you want? And the people picked Barabbas. Well, what do you want me to do with this man? I find no fault in him, Pilate said. They said, crucify him. Now, those were people who less than a week earlier are singing, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But he disappointed them. He came to pay for their sins, which was their biggest problem. They wanted him to throw the Romans out, which by comparison is a minor problem. That's a temporal problem. That's a problem for time. He's talking about eternity. He couldn't have sidestepped that and provided for our payment for sins. So instead, he is the one that chose to do that. They put him on a cross. People like you and I walked in front of him for 3 hours. It says hurling abuse at him, blaspheming, calling him everything in the book. And then the sky went dark. Now, this wasn't a simple eclipse that lasted for 8 minutes. It went dark for 3 hours. That is the hand of God at work. In a sense, shutting down the universe to keep that from happening. And in that time, Jesus cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the answer is for you and I. That's the answer. And then when it was done, he said, it is finished. Then he said, I want a drink. And he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And he died. Wow. He knew what he came to do. He carried it out. And he carried it out perfectly. Now that's part of what this is about. Because the cup is about his work on the cross. This is something He wanted us to keep on doing in remembrance of Him. Remember the time that He came to earth. And it says, until He comes back. And He wants us to be reminded about the next time when He comes back. So we're going to take just a minute to think about Jesus on the cross in our place and think about what it really means. It's not just a story in a book. It really happened. It's historical truth, and we can trust in it. So if we put our faith in Him, we're forever saved. So let's take this moment and remember our Lord on the cross in our place. Let's pray. Father, there's no way to imagine the agony that our Lord went through for each and every one of us, not counting the sins of the entire world, as it says. And Father, how can we ever be thankful enough? Father, that one fact should humble us for all of eternity, that someone else took care of our problems so that we might spend eternity with You. Father, I pray that we will forever, and we will continue to appreciate it all the more, what our Lord did for us. Father, we will give You all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. And He took the cup. He said, this is the new covenant in My blood. And as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes back. Let us drink. Father, Your grace is indeed amazing. It is indeed worthy of thanks. Father, I thank You that we're going to be spending eternity giving You thanks. And it's never going to get old. We're never going to get tired of it. We are going to enjoy this place You designed for us called heaven. And Father, we are going to forever be thankful. Let us be so now, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.